This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In Kansas City, the Chiefs will host the Titans, where I'm going to guess it's going to be a little bit chillier than where they're playing out there in the Bay Area. Here to give us some Chief insight is a guy who covers them day in and day out for the Kansas City Star. Chiefs beat writer Blair Kirkhoff joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. What's the weather like going to be tomorrow at kickoff, Blair?
A little nippy. Highs in the teens, and then by the end of the game, maybe single digits. So it's going to be a cold one. So you'll see some fans with no shirts on and nuts out there, but. It's going to be cold, bitter cold, but I don't think windy, and that's important if the wind's not blowing. So, I think they'll manage in this. At least it's not snowing. Kansas City had an ice and snow issue the other day, and it's cleared out by now, and they had the field at Arrowhead covered. So the field should be in great shape.
That's where I was going to go next, but no snow. It's going to be cold, but no snow, which means if the field was properly treated, then the players should be able to get a good grip on the field. We'll see if they're up to the diving temperatures. Diving is what Kansas City did in the first quarter last week against the Texans, but then like the Phoenix rose from the ashes and did so rather quickly to reverse that game. The way that the game played out, how much of a plus do you think that is to the Chiefs this week?
A little bit. I think the fact that they know they can come back from the deficit that they dug themselves, that 24-0, has to do nothing but help their confidence. Listen, you absolutely can't do that against a Tennessee Titans team that can control the clock and just pound you with Derrick Henry. So probably not a good idea for the Chiefs to fall behind in this one. But the fact that they were able to come back, force a couple of turnovers, and make a really nice special teams play, snuffing out a fake punt, really got them back in the game. And once this offense gets rolling, it's like a tsunami. They just kept scoring touchdown after touchdown, seven straight possessions with a touchdown. And then the defense played really well after giving up the early points.
They did come back, rally, and played very well, as you suggest. But this team is built on its offense and its quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid's had some good quarterbacks that he's coached over the years. Never one as talented as Patrick Mahomes. What would you grade the Andy Reid-Patrick Mahomes simpatico scale at right now?
You know, that was a topic this week, and it's not just Reed and Mahomes, it's Mahomes and his receivers as well. We've heard it ever since Mahomes became the starter that he and Reed are, so of one mind that they even finish each other's sentences sometimes. And there was a play in the game last weekend where Mahomes ended up throwing a long completion to Kelce before knowing which way Kelce was going to turn on the route. It was an option for Kelce to turn either toward the boundary or to the inside. And Mahomes and Kelce are on such a same page that the ball was right where it needed to be in the completion. So I'll tell you what, when stuff like that's happening with your offense, you know you got something going on. And that's not to say that it can't be disrupted or that Mahomes can have his bad throws. He certainly can, but we haven't seen many of those in his 2 years as the Chiefs starting quarterback. He really has been kind of a unicorn, just somebody who it's just different. He's such a different guy.
Blair Kirkhoff from the Kansas City Star, our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. Kelce was completely unstoppable last week. We know he's one of the best tight ends if we get the 49ers and the Chiefs, I think we'll have the two best tight ends in all of football on the field at the same time, and that will be a fun competition when they're never on the field at the same time during the Super Bowl, but it'll be fun just the same. Again, where he's come from and what he means to this team offensively, going against this week's opponent, Tennessee. How are they at covering the tight end? It looked like the Texans had no answer for it last week. The Titans can't let Kelce beat him as badly as he did Houston last week. What are the Titans going to throw at him to try and slow him down?
Yeah, a lot of teams, they double him or bracket Kelce, and they sometimes have to make a choice between Kelce and Tyreek Hill, who you want to, you know, give the extra attention to, and that always works in the Chiefs' favor. In the regular season game between these teams, Tyreek Hill had one of his best games of the season, had 150 yards receiving and a touchdown. Kelce also had a touchdown. I believe he had a touchdown reception that game as well, but also a big game. And what was mostly impressive last week about Travis Kelce is his 10 receptions for 130-plus yards. He did it after hurting his hamstring. So he actually did not play the first series of the second half when the Chiefs went down and scored, but he did come back later in the game. So he compiled a lot of his numbers a week ago with a tight hamstring. He was limited in practice on Wednesday and Thursday, but he declared himself ready to go on Friday. And I wouldn't be surprised if he had another big game. I just don't think that the Titans defense, or really any defense, can hold these guys down for too much. I think you have to try to match them with scoring. And look, the Titans have just been fantastic in the last, since Tannehill became the starter, and they've done exactly what it's taken to beat the Patriots and the Ravens. I think beat the Chiefs is you're not gonna hold them down, so you're gonna have to score with them. So I think that's the objective for Tennessee on Sunday.
All right, let's get to that Tennessee objective. I don't see how it can't be Henry right, Henry left, and Henry up the middle, because the guy has been a machine for the last 3 months. He was a machine against the Chiefs earlier this year. Give me something for a Kansas City Chief fan to put their arm around, that the run defense can do something to stop Mr. Henry, other than, well, he can only score 7 points at a time, and Mahomes is going to score 7, so we're not worried about him because we're just going to flat out score them.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, not just in the regular season this year, but in the 2017 wild card round, the Titans came to Kansas City, and the Chiefs had a 21-3 lead at halftime. And in the second half, Henry went for about 110 of his 150 rushing yards, and the Titans ended up winning that game. So the Chiefs have seen Derrick Henry twice. He has mauled them twice. He had 140 of his 188 in the second half of the regular season game. So, I think the Chiefs are resigned to the idea that the guy is going to get his. What you don't want is for Ryan Tannehill to have a big game as well. Tannehill's been great in the postseason, not by posting big numbers, but because Henry's so effective, that makes the play action so effective for Tennessee. And Tannehill's been able to throw some touchdown passes off the play action when Patriots and Ravens are putting, you know, 8 in the box. So I think the idea is, you know, you just take your chances with Derrick Henry. You hope to get him in third and long, Tennessee in third and long situations, to make Ryan Tannehill more of a passing quarterback than a rushing offense, and hope to keep him out of the end zone as often as you can, which has been difficult. I mean, the Titans have been incredible in the red zone in the postseason. So Chiefs certainly have, even though they're a 7.5-point favorite, I think they got their work cut out for them on Sunday, and they're going to have to be at their best. They cannot turn the ball over. They had a fumble return for a touchdown at Tennessee back in Week 10, and they had a field goal blocked. They cannot have those things happen and win the game on Sunday.
And last week, special teams played a big part in the Kansas City win, positively and negatively, and that's the kind of thing you can't game plan. We can sit here all day and talk about what Mahomes is going to do and who he's going to throw to and how he's going to be and who's going to run the ball and what the game plan is going to be. And then mishaps and missteps happen on special teams and the game gets thrown into a tizzy. How confident are you in Kansas City special teams winning the special teams battle, if you compare what Tennessee's going to be able to do just regularly and what Kansas City does regularly, is there a special teams advantage to be had?
That's a good question. It's a really good question, a really good point, because last week the Chiefs had a punt block for a touchdown, and Tyreek Hill muffed a punt that set up another really short yardage touchdown for the Titans. So 14-0 it was part of that 24-0 start by the Texans. So two touchdowns on special teams. The Chiefs turned around, and after being down 24-0, got a 58-yard kickoff return from Mecole Hardman.
Right.
And then Daniel Sorensen, the safety, read a fake punt, made a great open field tackle to give the Chiefs a short field of their own for a touchdown. And then on the ensuing kickoff, Sorensen forced a fumble that was returned inside the five, and the Chiefs took it in for an easy one there as well. So the special teams taketh away and they giveth to the Chiefs last week. And that's exactly right. They have to not lose the battle to Tennessee. I think it's important for Tennessee to be great on special teams, because I think the Chiefs have the offensive advantage. I think the defense is probably a split, and then maybe whoever wins the special teams gets it done on Sunday.
Yeah, it may come down to special teams again. It did last week for the Chiefs. Yeah. All right, Andy Reid's track record in the postseason is what it is. He's won a bunch of games. I think with Sunday his 10th all-time postseason win.
If he wins on Sunday, he'll be 14-14 with the Eagles and the Chiefs. But you're right. I mean, listen, I think part of the narrative for the Chiefs on Sunday is how Andy Reid will handle the game, and I think it's important for his legacy to get to another Super Bowl. One with the Eagles. He hasn't been to a second one. This is his 21st year. He's the sixth winningest coach in NFL history, and the five above them have multiple either Super Bowl or NFL championship victories. And, of course, Reid doesn't have one. So I think he's crossed the threshold to be a Hall of Fame coach, but I think he really solidifies his candidacy if he gets to another Super Bowl, and if he wins one, it's a slam dunk. So I do think there's something on the line for Andy Reid on Sunday, and I also think he's something of a sentimental favorite of the four coaches that are remaining. I think this football is pulling for Andy Reid in this game.
Do his players know the perspective that you just put forth? I know a little of it because I did games down in Philadelphia when Andy was the coach there, and going to four straight championship games when one Super Bowl came up short against the Patriots. Do the players know? Do you media members entertain questions to guys who are just playing for Andy for the last year or two? Is it as big a story in that locker room as a guy who's been watching Andy Reid's entire career like me would actually care about?
Yeah, players are aware of it. And, in fact, Patrick Mahomes was asked the question on Wednesday, and his answer was a win on Sunday would mean more to him for Andy Reid than to himself. So players are aware of it, and they know what's at stake in this game for Reid. And they came so close a year ago, right? They had the lead on the Patriots in the fourth quarter. The Patriots retook it. The Chiefs tied it up, sent it to overtime. Looked like they had the game won with an interception, but an offside, a defensive player, D Ford, had lined up offside. So the game ended up going to overtime. The Patriots won the coin toss, got the ball, and took it into the end zone. So the Chiefs never even had possession in the overtime. So that's how close Kansas City came to being in the Super Bowl last year. And we wouldn't be asking these questions about Reid if the Chiefs had been in the Super Bowl a year ago. The Reid subject is off the table, I think. But because they didn't get there, it's part of the narrative of this game. It's not only were the players asked, but his coordinators were asked about it as well. And to a man, they were all, we got to get it done for Andy Reid. And so, yeah, there's an awareness in the locker room, and I think around football, that this is a big game for Andy Reid.
If you've already made your pick for your paper, I'm going to ask you to share it with us. If you haven't yet, then you got to at least give us a generalization of how you think tomorrow's game's going to go.
Yeah, the pick was due by Thursday, so I had to have it in earlier this week. So I I went 30-23 Chiefs, and that gives the Titans a little bit of a cover there if it goes off at 7.5. But I do like the Chiefs' ability to score, especially if the conditions are going to be not windy and not wet, and that's going to be the case. The temperature won't matter as much as the wind and a wet field, and they're not going to have either one of those. So I think the Chiefs will be able to move the ball. They scored 32 and had their season high in total yards at Tennessee in Week 10. So I think the Chiefs are confident offensively. What they can't do, and what happened in Tennessee, is they settled for field goals. They had three touchdowns and six, and lined up six times for a field goal in Nashville. Absolutely can't have. They need to flip that ratio to win the game on Sunday.
Appreciate you coming on, Blair. You gave us some real good insight tonight. Try and stay warm. Dress warmly tomorrow. Even that press box going to be a little bit cold.
It is.
Enjoy, and I hope you get two more weeks of work.
There you go. Thanks a lot. Good
My pleasure. That's Blair Kirchhoff from the Kansas City Star talking Chief football here with us on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.